2 of Lesson 17 of the Home Study Course. The Bible shows that Satan the devil has been given temporary authority over the nations of this world, and Christ Jesus acknowledged that. In Matthew chapter 4, verses 8 through 11, we find the last temptation or trial that Satan the devil subjected our Lord to. And here's what it says, beginning in verse 8, "Again the devil taketh him up into an exceeding high mountain, and showeth him all the kingdoms of the world, and the glory of them, and saith unto him," now this is what he said to Christ, "All these things will I give thee, if thou wilt fall down and worship me. Then said Jesus unto him, Get thee hence, Satan, for it is written, Thou shalt worship the Lord thy God, and him only shalt thou serve. Then the devil leaveth him, and behold, angels came and ministered unto him." Now that was the end of the temptation, and I want you to notice that the last trial that Satan gave him was the one that most of us, most human beings, would be more tempted to accept than any other. Because what if all of the kingdoms of this world would be offered to you? What if they were offered to Ernest Martin? What if they were offered to anybody? Now, if we have a good heart, and I think I do, I'm sure you do as well, why don't we just accept that? And, you know, we could really bring a lot of good on this earth. We could bring peace and security and all types of things like that, couldn't we? Well, we think we could. The only thing is, I just wonder if I have any knowledge whatsoever of how to bring peace on this earth when sometimes I can't even help my own self. And I wonder how many of you can do the same thing. Well, you know, it's very tempting to accept what Satan might offer. And Christ Jesus could have accepted back there. All he had to do was to bow down and worship him. And he was prophesied in the first place to be the ruler over all the earth anyway. Why didn't Christ Jesus just accept him? Well, the only thing is, Satan the devil was offering it under his terms. And Christ Jesus is to take over all the kingdoms of this world. In fact, he is already, in one way of looking at it, spiritually. But I mean to take over the office of Satan the devil. He's going to do that. You know, Satan the devil is called, in a sense, the morning star. The morning star was like Venus, you know, that is supposed to be the ruler of the dawn and all of that to bring in the new age. Well, I'll tell you, Satan the devil is like that in a sense, that he controls the nations of this earth and this age that we are living in at the present time. And again, under the domination of God, of course, the overall authority is God's, of Christ Jesus. But he's been given that authority at the present time. But who is it that will be finally the bright and morning star? It's Christ Jesus. He is going to take over rulership of this world, but at a set time, at the time set by God the Father. And here was Satan the devil offering the very ruler of the world, that's quite true, the nations of the world, but before the time. If you will, he said, bow down and worship me. And Christ Jesus would not do that. And I'll tell you, there's only one person that I know of that could take over all nations of this world and be able to bring peace, harmony, and security to this entire world. And that person is Christ Jesus. I want to tell you, you couldn't do it, I couldn't do it, and nobody else could do it. So there's no reason in the world to try to take over this world at the present time, because even if we wouldn't succeed. We'd make some big mistake somewhere along the line, and it would never work out right. Christ Jesus knew that. He knew that it wasn't the time for him to be the ruler of the world, but it will come. That time is coming, and it's not very far in advance of us. I am assured of that fact. I just know that we won't have long to wait before Christ Jesus comes back with his angels, and he sets up his authority on this earth, and for 1,000 years he's going to be the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords and the ruler of all of the nations on this world. But at the present time, this is under, this rule and authority is that of Satan, and this world is under the rule and control of Satan the devil. The various nations are Satan the devil's to give. And he could have given it to Christ back there. Christ didn't come back to him and say, Satan, you know, God the Father is the one who rules over all. And, of course, that's true. But he didn't say that to him and said, you don't have any authority to give me any nations at all. He didn't say that because Satan did have the authority. You see, he has been placed in this position of the prince of the power of the air. Or as Christ said in John chapter 14 and verse 30, he's the prince of this world. And he's been given the authority as an angel to rule over the nations of this world at the present time. The rulers of this earth, these physical rulers that we see around, whether they be Gorbachev over there in the Soviet Union, or whether we find any other rulers on this earth at the present time, it makes no difference who they are. They are all, in one way or another, under the governance of Satan. Now, Christ Jesus can rule over them and rule over Satan anytime he wishes. And I'm not saying that they're just going around all the time in satanic influence. That's not the point. I'm not saying that. I am saying, however, that the nations of this world, according to the Scripture, and the kings and rulers of this world are under the authority of Satan the devil until Christ Jesus comes back at the second advent with his angels and takes over the rulership of this world. Now, overall, I keep saying this, Christ is in charge. But he has given that authority at the present time to Satan the devil. And for him to have accepted back there some 1900 years ago the rulership over the nations of this world, which he is destined to do, which he is inspired of God to do. It was before the time, and that's why Christ Jesus would not accept the demands or the temptation of Satan the devil. And you know something? Neither should you before the time. I have tried to show people that the Bible makes it abundantly clear that if we try to bring in a social system at this present time in which the basic tenets of Christianity, of love and mercy and grace and goodness, all of these wonderful things, and certainly they are wonderful, but if we try to bring in the government of God right now, we're going to fail. Because I'll tell you what, this world is now under the domination of Satan the devil, and it's going to continue that way until Christ Jesus takes Satan the devil out of the way. And he will do that at his second advent, and not before. At this present time, the nations of this world are under the authority of Satan the devil. And that's all there is to it. That's the crossing of the T and the dotting of the I as far as the Scripture is concerned. And when we read in the Bible about the nations of this world, we find that not only individuals, that is humans, are in control, like a king or an emperor or even a president or a prime minister or whoever. Oh no, even though they are in control in a physical sense, there are spiritual powers behind these nations and above these men and these women that are actually in control under the authority of Christ Jesus as far as the ultimate authority is concerned. But they are here, these spiritual powers. And the one that's in charge of all these spiritual powers who have control over the nations of the earth happens to be Satan the devil, because he's the prince of this world. He is the power, prince of the power of the air. He is the one that goes to and fro in the earth and up and down in it. He's the one who has control under God, under Christ, of everything that is happening here on this earth in a political sense. Now, that doesn't mean that everything that is done is bad. No, no, no. But he's the one that's in control, and it's made clear that that is the case. Now, let's go back to Daniel chapter 9 and chapter 10, I should say. And here we find an example given of how Satan the devil is certainly in control, or that there are spiritual powers in control of various nations on this earth. And you know, in Revelation chapter 12, it says that the final battle in heaven is going to come between Michael and his angels and Satan the devil and his angels. And Satan the devil is finally going to be exited from heaven, where he will not have any more opportunity of being there to discuss things with Yahweh or with Christ or anything like that. And he's going to be sent down to this earth, and he's going to be very angry when that time comes, because he knows that his time is very short. But Michael and his angels will fight against Satan and his angels in the future, and that is recorded in the 12th chapter of the book of Revelation. And by the way, that has not occurred yet. That event is still on the horizon to us, and I don't think we have very long to wait to see it happen. All right, now back in the book of Daniel, however, in chapter 10, we find Daniel here having a vision, and Gabriel comes to him and gives the vision to him. As you'll see in the first part of this chapter 10, it was Gabriel, the angel. And then Gabriel waits 21 days to be able to give him the interpretation of the vision. Now, he received the vision, and then he wondered what it was all about, and he began to have a semi-fast, if you want to call it that. He didn't eat pleasant food or anything of that nature for a 21-day period, full 3 weeks. And then at the end of that 21 days, then this angel, who proves to be Gabriel, the same one who gave him the visions before, comes to him and says this in verse 12. Then said he unto me, Fear not, Daniel, for from the first day that you did set thy heart to understand, that is the first day of this 21-day period when the vision was given, and to chasten yourself before thy God, thy words were heard, and I am come for thy words. But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days. Now, Gabriel, who is this angel, this archangel, is now being withstood by a prince of the of Persia. This certainly can't be the human king of Persia, because he wouldn't have a chance in the world with an archangel like Gabriel. But this is a heavenly creature. This is a spiritual creature. This is the prince over the nation of Persia, which existed back there in the 6th century, or I should say the 7th century, B.C. And there was actually a restraining going on, a type of a war, a type of a battle. And the two archangels were actually in, or the two powers, spiritual powers, were in a type of a confrontation with one another. That's clearly what it means here. Then he goes on to say, "But the prince of the kingdom of Persia withstood me 21 days, and lo, Michael, one of the chief princes." Now that Michael happens to be, it says, your prince, he said to Daniel. It's the prince, he's the prince over the nation of Israel. And still, Michael being an archangel, and Gabriel being an archangel, they are not as powerful of themselves as, of course, God the Father is, or Christ Jesus. In no way. They are subsidiary powers. And these other powers mentioned here, like the prince of the of Persia, who is a spiritual power and was antagonistic both to Michael and to Gabriel, they were able to withstand Gabriel coming to Daniel to explain this vision for a whole period of 21 days. Now, it may sound odd to us, but that's exactly what the scripture is saying, and I believe that this scriptural revelation is telling us the truth. It is the inspired word of Almighty God, and he is trying to tell us here, God is trying to tell us about these spiritual powers that do exist. And Gabriel and Michael are archangels on the side of God, of course, and doing what God tells them to do, but in a righteous sense. But here is the prince of the kingdom of Persia, and withstanding Gabriel. That must mean that they are in antagonistic situations to one another, that one is an adversary to the other, and obviously that is the case. Now, it says, verse 14, "Now I am come," Gabriel says, "to make thee understand what shall befall thy people in the latter days, and yet the vision is for many days." Now, Daniel had received a tremendous vision, and that vision is recorded in chapters 11 and 12, and it's a vision that has to do with our day to day, beginning in verse 5 of chapter 11. All of that is yet future to us, and here is Gabriel finally being able to tell Daniel about this vision and the interpretation of it. But he says he was restrained for a 21-day period by the spiritual power that was behind the kingdom of Persia. Then he goes on down in verse 20, he says, of chapter 10, "Then said he," that's Gabriel, "Knowest thou wherefore I come unto thee? And now will I return to fight with the prince of Persia. And when I am gone forth, lo, the prince of Grecia, or Javan, will come. But I will show you that which is noted in the scripture of truth, the book of truth. And there is none that holds with me in these things but Michael, your prince." Michael is the one with Gabriel who was holding to the truth of this vision. And the vision, as I said, is given in Daniel chapter 11 and on through Daniel chapter 12 up to verse 4. And it's called the scripture of truth, the book of truth. And this book of truth, this long vision, was interpreted to Daniel by Gabriel. But notice Gabriel saying here, "I have to go and fight against the prince of Persia," this spiritual power. So there is a type of battle going on. It was back at that time between Gabriel on the one hand and between the prince of Persia on the other. Then succeeding this confrontation, there would be another prince that would come along called the prince of Javan, as it is in the Hebrew. And Javan, of course, was the first individual after the flood that populated the area of Greece. And in later times, the name Greece in Hebrew was applied to the area of Greece, which we know of today, and so it really does mean Grecia, as it says in the King James Version. And a little later on in history, we find that Alexander the Great, who was the representative of the Greco-Macedonian Empire and all of that that his father Philip had created, that he was this prince, this he-goat that came out of the West, and he was able to take over the kingdom of Persia. That was at a later time. But this kingdom of Greece, that is Alexander the Great in history as it was, he was governed by a spiritual power that was above him. Each of the nations of the earth have spiritual powers in charge of them. And as far as Israel is concerned, Israel has in charge of it the archangel Michael. It says here in the end of chapter 10 of Daniel, verse 21, that Michael is your prince. It means the prince of Israel. That's why in the book of Revelation, chapter 12, at the very end of the age, just before the second coming of Christ, it's Michael, the prince of Israel, and his angels in heaven who fight with Satan the devil and his angels, and Satan the devil and his angels will lose, and they're going to be sent down to this earth, and they're going to be angry, and for a 3.5-year period, they're going to cause havoc to occur on this earth, but havoc in a particular way that most people have not understood. We'll talk about that if we have time just a little bit later on. But you see, here are battles going on, spiritual battles in heavenly places. That's why the Apostle Paul said, we wrestle not with flesh and blood, but with powers and principalities in heavenly places, in high places. But they have control over this earth, and God the Father allows them to have control. He actually put them in control in times past, and they will continue to be in control over the nations of this world with one great archangel, if you want to call him that, that has control over all the other princes of the nations of this world, and that person is Satan the devil. And so in Revelation chapter 12, we find Michael, the prince of Israel, with his angels, then fighting, just like Gabriel did back there with the prince of the kingdom of Persia, fighting, and they're going to be expelled down to this earth, that is Satan the devil, expelled from heaven. And then the last generation before the second advent of Christ will find Satan the devil exclusively here on this earth, and he will then bring in a world kingdom, because someone is going to take him up on that offer of his that he gave to Christ. If you fall down and worship me, I'll give all the kingdoms of the world to you. You know, at the end of the age, when you read Revelation chapter 13 in particular, it says that this man called the Antichrist, called the Beast, who's going to come in the place of Christ, he's going to look so good, he's going to look like Christ. He's going to be energized, however, by no less than Satan the devil. And Satan the devil, while he is here on this earth, is going to give power to this one man, this son of perdition, or this man of sin, otherwise called the Beast, or the Antichrist, this one who is going to come at the end of the age. He's going to sit in a temple at Jerusalem. He's going to call himself God, when in actual fact he is not God, but he's going to be mimicking like he is Jesus Christ. He's coming in the full power of Satan the devil, and we will see that in a few moments in the scripture, which Paul was able to give us. And once that occurs, Satan is going to hand over the kingdoms of this world to this man, and the whole earth is going to come under the authority and domination of this man, this false Christ, which will last for a period of about 3.5 years before the true Christ, Jesus Christ, comes back to this earth with his angels and then takes over the power of Satan the devil. And that time is when Christ Jesus then will become king over all this earth. And he will rule it with a rod of iron at first, of course, to bring in peace and security and all of that. And then we will finally have harmony and safety on this earth, and it will last for a 1,000-year period, and that's exactly what the book of Revelation says. But up until that time, Satan has control over this earth, and he has appointed various spiritual powers, spirits and spiritual powers in heavenly places that control the nations of this earth. And if we think just the human rulers of the nations of this earth are the ones in complete authority, we are mistaken. They have an authority, all right, but they are under the domination of spiritual powers. And these spiritual powers are called wicked powers in the heavenlies, even at the present time. They have access to heaven, but they also have authority over this earth under Satan the devil. And, you know, when you look at all of the scripture on these matters, you will find that it's been well known amongst the prophets of Israel in the past that the various kingdoms of this world were under the control of spiritual powers that were above them and beyond them, as far as that goes, in having the complete control. Take a look at Ezekiel. This is a section here that many of us have wondered about over the years, but Ezekiel 28, we find a prophecy here, first of all, about the prince of Tyre, which, and Tyre, by the way, was the ancient capital of the Phoenicians, and the Phoenician trading empire, which was throughout the Mediterranean, and it even reached into the Indian Ocean and the Atlantic Ocean. And it was a great power there on the Mediterranean coast, just north of Palestine. And here is a prophecy about the prince of Tyre, which we find in Ezekiel 28, going down to verse 10. But then in verse 11, Ezekiel changes the individual that he's talking about here, and he abandons the prince of Tyre, who was clearly a man, and then he talks about what he calls the king of Tyre. In verse 11 it says, moreover, the word of Yahweh came unto me, saying, son of man, take up a lamentation unto the king of Tyre. Now you'll notice in chapter 28, verses 1 and 2, it was the prince of Tyre that he was talking about there, who was clearly a human being. But now he seems to talk about this king of Tyre, the one who really is in control over this prince of Tyre, who was a human being. And of this individual it says, thus saith the Lord God, thou sealest up the sum, full of wisdom and perfect in beauty. thou hast been in Eden, the garden of God. Every precious stone was thy covering, the sardis, the topaz, the diamond, beryl, onyx, jasper, the sapphire, the emerald, and the carbuncle, and the gold. The workmanship of thy tabrets and of thy pipes was prepared in thee in the day that thou wast created. Thou art the anointed cherub that covers. Now, a cherub, you see, is a spiritual individual, a spiritual being that is more powerful, obviously, than a human being here on this earth. Going on, it says, I have set thee so. Thou wast upon the holy mountain of God. Thou hast walked up and down in the midst of the stones of fire. Thou wast perfect in thy ways from the day that thou wast created, till iniquity was found in thee. By the multitude of thy merchandise, they have filled the midst of thee with violence, and thou hast sinned. Therefore I will cast thee as a profane out of the mountain of God. I will destroy thee, O covering cherub, from the midst of the stones of fire. Now, you know this covering cherub here. It means the cherubs of old, when it says covering cherub, there were two cherubs that were images of them were made in the tabernacle and later on in the temple of Solomon, in the inner sanctum of the temple. And these two cherubs had wings. They were angelic creatures, and their wings were outstretched. Both of these cherubs were looking toward one another, and their wings were outstretched over the mercy seat, which represented the throne of God in the Holy of Holies in the temple. And one of these cherubs is being discussed here. Now, it says you were the anointed cherub that covers. In actual fact, there was another cherub on the other side that also covered, but that cherub is not being discussed. There is one cherub being discussed here, and he says you were in the garden of God. You were in Eden. It's most interesting, because is this the spiritual power that is in charge of Tyre, or the Phoenicians, that the prince of Tyre, the human being, had to be subjected to? I ask that as a question, because when you put it all together, Ezekiel seems to be talking here about some kind of spiritual power. But the interesting thing about it is, this spiritual power, this anointed cherub that covers, can be destroyed. And in actual fact, it even says in verse 18, I will bring thee to ashes upon the earth in the sight of all them that behold thee. And you know, that's rather a puzzler there, how this anointed cherub can be so destroyed that it can be like ashes. You know, we've got a lot of study to do on some of these things. Many people have considered this to be Satan the devil. But you know, the point is this. Maybe it is Satan the devil, because he, in one way, is in control of the spiritual power, in control of this earth. He was in control of the prince of Tyre back there, and in reality, he was the king of Tyre. But you know something? There are other spiritual powers. The Apostle Paul said there are wicked spirits in heavenly places that have to do with things on this earth. And there are various nations on this earth, quite a number of nations. And each of the nations on this earth has a spiritual power under Satan the devil, and all under Christ Jesus, of course. But these spiritual powers are under Satan the devil that control the various nations of the earth. Is he talking here about the spiritual power that controlled Tyre? Not Israel, not Assyria, not the Philistines, not the Egyptians, not the Romans, or anybody else, but the Tyrians. It very well may be the case. What is interesting here, and we need more study on this, is that this spiritual power can be destroyed. And indeed, this spiritual power, though he's called an anointed cherub, and was back there in the Garden of Eden. Still, at the same time, he can be brought down to ashes. Now, that's most remarkable for a spiritual power, isn't it? Now, how in the world is this going to be accomplished? One of these days, in a future lesson, I hope to go into this with great detail, and I think we're going to be surprised when we see the answer to all of this. However, what we have here is a description, no doubt, of a spiritual power that is above and beyond the human power that Ezekiel and all others living at the time was able to see reigning on the throne of Tyre. The man was the prince of Tyre, but the spiritual power behind the man was the king of Tyre. Now, if you'll go on over in Ezekiel 29 and 30, and particularly chapter 31, you will find here another description about others being in the Garden of Eden. Now, this anointed cherub that covers was in the garden of God. That's what it says in the 28th chapter of the book of Ezekiel. But most people have forgotten all about what Ezekiel continued on with. And in chapter 31, if you will read it here, this is a chapter about the downfall of Pharaoh, king of Egypt. And Pharaoh, king of Egypt, he says, was like the trees that existed in the Garden of Eden. And that this power that was over Egypt was also in the Garden of Eden, and that he towered above all the other trees of the Garden of Eden. But he was like the Assyrian in verse 3 of chapter 31 of Ezekiel, the Assyrian who also had a power and was back there in the Garden of Eden. You ought to read that chapter 31. It is most interesting because the same spiritual terminology that is used over in Ezekiel 28 about the prince and the king of Tyre, and the king of Tyre being the spiritual power, no doubt, over the physical king of Tyre, who was on earth, has ramifications. The same thing has ramifications over in Ezekiel 31, dealing with the Assyrians on the one hand and the Egyptians on the other. And that the Egyptians and the Assyrians were going to be destroyed, like also the Tyrians were going to be destroyed. And the spiritual powers behind the king of the prince of Tyre, and behind the physical Assyrians, or behind the physical Egyptians with their pharaoh and all of that, they were also going to be destroyed. And that's what it says in Ezekiel 31. And indeed, it goes on over to show in Ezekiel 32, beginning in verse 17, not only does it say the Egyptians will be destroyed, but in verse 22, it says the Assyrians are going to be destroyed. Verse 24, the people of Elam, which is the old nation of Persia, is going to be destroyed. It goes on in verse 26, it says Meshech and Tubal and all their multitude will be destroyed. Then in verse 29, Edom and her kings and princes will be destroyed. And then in verse 30, it speaks about the princes of the north and all of the Sidonians, which means the Tyrians and the people of Lebanon and all of that will be destroyed. And then in verse 31, it says Pharaoh shall be destroyed, but he shall see all of these other nations destroyed and their spiritual powers, and he will be comforted. Now, a lot of this is figure of speech. That's quite true. But what Ezekiel is showing here is that there are spiritual powers that have been around a long time that are over the various nations of this world, whether back at that time the Tyrians, the Assyrians, the Edomites, the Sidonians, and the Egyptians, and whoever. There are spiritual powers. And you know, each person or each nation today on this earth has a spiritual power that's in authority over it. And Israel still has Michael. But at the present time, the chief archangel over all the nations of this world, until Christ Jesus takes that authority away from him, is none other than Satan the devil. Now, when will this authority be taken over? This authority of the earth will be taken over by Christ Jesus. Well, that's explained in Revelation chapter 11 and verse 15. And it's most interesting here. It says, when the seventh angel sounds. Now, that's coming in the future. When the seventh angel sounds, and there were great voices in heaven saying, the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever and ever. Now, that's only at a time in the future. Do you know that though Christ Jesus has been given all power in heaven and in earth, he does not exercise all of it in a temporary sense, or in a mundane sense, shall we say, on this earth until Satan the devil is taken out of the way. Satan the devil and the various spiritual powers that are in charge of the nations of this world will not be destroyed or taken out of their authority until the seventh angel sounds the seventh trumpet, which is going to occur in a few years ahead of us. And when that time comes, then the kingdoms of this world are become the kingdoms of our Lord and his Christ, and he shall reign forever. Until that time, Satan the devil is still in charge. Now, that is under God, that's quite true, but he's still given authority over the nations of this world. And let's face it, when we see what is happening in this world today, do we not think that Satan the devil is very much in charge? Well, I would think you would believe it, whether it's in a political sense, a social sense, religious, or whatever. He is in charge. Oh, things look good on the surface in many places. That's quite true. Because Satan the devil, he just doesn't come around all the time looking like a person with a pitchfork and red all over and a long tail and horns on his head. Oh, no, he comes around looking good. And I'll tell you, many things in this world do look good. The joys of this world, the happiness of this world, the pleasures of this world. Well, my, look around all the kingdoms of this world. There, the capital buildings of this world, they look nice, don't they? They certainly do. Satan the devil wants everybody to think that he has something going pretty good. That's absolutely the case. He is in charge now of the nations of this world, and he has various spiritual powers around that assist him in the governance of this world and the kings and the emperors and the princes of this world. Now, Jesus Christ is in control over all, and nothing can happen on this earth that he does not want to occur. But the point is, he has given authority and power to Satan the devil for a limited time. And that is going to come to an end when Christ Jesus comes back to this earth. And just before Christ Jesus comes back, however, Satan the devil is going to be expelled from heaven. And when he does, for the last 3.5 years, there is going to be a satanic governance on this earth in which Satan himself will be here on this earth with his angels, and he will actually be possessing a man called the beast, the Antichrist, the son of perdition, the man of sin, or whatever you want to call him. He goes by various names. The one who is going to control all the nations of this earth just prior to the second coming of Christ. Satan the devil is going to inhabit that man, possess him just like he did Judas when Christ Jesus was taken to trial back there when Judas gave him up to the various authorities at that time. This man in the future is going to be energized by Satan the devil with all the power of Satan the devil, and he's going to take over control of this world. This is going to happen when Satan the devil is expelled from heaven. In chapter 12 of Revelation it says, "And there was war in heaven. Michael and his angels fought against the dragon, and the dragon fought and his angels, and prevailed not. Neither was their place found any more in heaven." You see, Satan was able to be in heaven back there at the time of Job on several occasions, and he still is. He still is at this present time able to be in heaven at various times, but there's coming a war in heaven, and he's going to be expelled when Michael and his angels fight against him. And Michael's going to win. In actual fact, it's Christ Jesus who's going to give the power to Michael this time to not only withstand, but to throw down Satan the devil and his angels down to this earth. And for the last 3.5 years, they're going to be here on this earth. And it says, "And the great dragon was cast out, that old serpent called the devil and Satan, which deceiveth the whole world. He was cast out into the earth, and his angels were cast out with him." One of the central roles of Satan the devil is to deceive this whole world. And you know, you might say, well, why doesn't God just get rid of him right now? Well, God knows what he's doing. Christ Jesus, they have a plan to work out. And this great deceiver called Satan the devil, he is even used in that plan, and they can use him anytime they want to. And he is being used at this present time. Now, Satan the devil may or may not know that he is being used by God. If he had any sense, he'd know it. Just like you and I ought to know that we're under the complete authority and control of God Almighty, no matter what we say or what we do. I know we have free will, but that free will that we have has to be always in conformance to the will of God the Father in Christ Jesus. There is a purpose being worked out here. God knows what he's doing. He is the one who has prophesied about Satan the devil being cast out of heaven about 3.5 years before the second coming of Christ back to this earth. He is the one who pulls the levers and pushes the buttons. Christ Jesus is the one completely in control, and he's about ready to take over the control of the nations of this world. But he's going to allow Satan to continue in it and to deceive this world for a particular time. Now, people will say, now, why does God allow Satan to deceive this world? Well, he does it for a purpose. And in fact, in the Old Testament, we find several times that God comes down and actually deceives people. God can deceive people if he wants to. He can send Satan the devil to deceive the prophets of this world anytime he pleases. And God knows what he's doing. God is the one, you see, that is in complete control. You know, in Job chapter 12 and verse 16, it says that God is the one who creates both the deceived and the deceiver. Well, Satan the devil has been created by God. And it says in John chapter 3 that Satan the devil was a deceiver and a liar from the very beginning of time. He has been put here for a reason. He's been put in control of this world for a reason. God is reproducing in one way of looking at it himself, and we have to be exposed to evil ourselves so that we can appreciate the good that's coming in the future. And he allows Satan and his demons to be able to deceive people on this earth so that when the final truth comes through Christ Jesus, we're going to appreciate it as never before. That's why we will be able to rule in this universe properly once we know where real truth lies. And we have to experience evil and deception first to be able to appreciate what the good and the righteous and the pure really is. That's one of the main reasons why he allows people to be deceived here on this earth at the present time. But you know, if you'll go back to 1 Kings chapter 22, and beginning in verse 19, we even find that God himself sent down spirits onto this earth to deceive the 400 prophets which were up there in Israel, in the nation of Israel. These were all in existence about the time of Elijah. But he actually allowed spirits to come down here and deceive the prophets of Israel, and to tell the king of Israel and the king of Judah, who was Jehoshaphat, that if you want to go up to a particular city and take it over, go on up, but what you're going to find is you're going to lose. And Israel is going to have dead people. All the armies of Israel will be strewn upon the mountains, and dead people will come forth from it. And he says, it says in that dialogue there, that God himself was the one who told certain spirits to go down and to deceive the various prophets of Israel. And someone will say, well, I just don't believe God ought to do that. Well, you talk it over with God. He's in complete control. He was the one who created Satan the devil to be the great deceiver, and he's a great deceiver right now, and he could take him out of existence right now if he wanted to, and he still allows him to exist until a particular time schedule comes to an end. And then he is going to step in, Christ Jesus, and rule these nations with a rod of iron. Yes, Satan the devil is a great deceiver, but he is a deceiver that God allows to deceive. And you know, in Jeremiah chapter 4 and verse 10, oh, there are whole sections back here in Jeremiah that show this principle, that God is in complete control, both of good and bad, and all of that, those things that happen on the earth. But here we have God actually saying, verse 10, and said I, this is God. In this case, Jeremiah here, but he's referring to what God said. Then said I, Lord God, that is Yahweh Elohim, surely thou hast greatly deceived this people, and Jerusalem, saying, you shall have peace, whereas the sword reaches unto the soul. In certain scriptures, in the past, God did say he was going to bring peace. But there was peace with a contingency. And when the people did not do what God told them to, then he allowed the deception of that peace to carry right on. And Jeremiah was able to realize that God was in this whole matter, and that if he wanted to deceive people, he could, and to allow the deception to stand, he could do that, because he is in complete control. Some people do not believe God would ever deceive anybody. Well, my. Satan the devil could do nothing as a great deceiver unless God himself approved and permitted it. He could put him out of commission immediately. I've said that about 30 times in this lecture. And he could do it if he wants to. God can cause anything like that to happen if he wants, because you see, he is almighty. In Ezekiel chapter 14 and verse 9 is this very interesting scripture here, which shows that God can come down and to deceive prophets if he wants to, even prophets who come in his name, if he wants to do it. Chapter 14 of Ezekiel and verse 9, it says, and if the prophet be deceived when he hath spoken a thing, I, the Lord, Yahweh, hath deceived that prophet, and I will stretch out my hand upon him and will destroy him from the midst of my people Israel. You know, God can actually deceive prophets that come in his name, or that did come in his name, if they would not pay close attention to the truth that he was given. And you know, it says in the Bible that if they speak not according to this word, that is the word, the Holy Scripture, there is no truth in them. And they can use Jesus Christ's name all they want to. They can use Yahweh's name if they want to. But if they don't stay according to this Scripture in all points on the major issues of life, of the major issues of biblical teaching, then there is no truth in them. I wouldn't listen to most of them. And I'll be honest with you, no matter how good they look on the surface. Because even when people say they've got this from God, or got that from God, or I heard God say this, or I heard God say that, and then they tell people you have to do this, or have to do that because God said it. Well, I want to know this. If God has said it, it will be consistent with the Holy Scripture from beginning to end. It will see, whatever is said will be seen to always be in agreement with the Holy Scripture, the Word of God, on basic issues that God deals with. And one of them, by the way, is this, that in the very beginning he said of man that we were mortals, that we were created mortals, that we were prevented, our first parents, from taking of the tree of life. But you know what Satan the devil came along and said? Oh no, you are mortal, immortal I should say. You're not going to die. And you know, since that time, almost all the people that have come along, even those who claim to be Christians, Christian ministers, theologians and all of that, they deny the very fact of that when a man dies or a person dies, he or she is dead. Oh no, they say they keep right on living, just exactly like Satan the devil said. That is contrary to the word of God. And you know, one of the last things that the Apostle Paul, almost one of the last things that he said to Timothy, it's recorded in 1 Timothy chapter 6 and verse 16, given about A.D. 63, even after the revelation of the mystery of God and all of that, when Paul was near the end of his career, he said to Timothy, in Timothy 6 and verse 16, only Christ hath immortality. Only Christ, of everyone that's lived on this earth. But what do the preachers of this world say? Well, they say, no, that's not true. Everybody goes immediately to heaven when you die. Everybody has an immortal existence, especially if you're in Christ at the present time. That is not true. That is falsehood from the beginning of Genesis to the end of Genesis. End of Genesis, yes, and to the end of Revelation is what I meant to say. All of that is something that we must take into cognizance if we want to know what the truth of God is on the state of man, upon the state of the dead, and all of that. And the resurrection from the dead that Christ Jesus is going to give to all of us who are in Christ at his second advent is the only hope that we have of immortality. And at that time, we will be given immortality. But you know, most of the Christian ministers today, coming in his name, 95% of them, are saying that, oh no, we are mortal already. Sure, Paul says only Christ is immortal, but we disagree with him. We say we are immortal too. We have to be immortal. So as soon as we die, we go immediately to heaven. Well, it's not true. These things are fundamental issues, and I have paid so much attention to them in recent lessons to be able to make these points clear, because Satan the devil is out to deceive people, and the very first thing he told our parents in the garden, the first deception, was that you're not going to die. And you know, they had to go to take of that tree of life if they were going to continue living, and they were prevented from doing that by being put outside the garden. Only Christ hath immortality. But what do we find Christian ministers today doing? And they mean it in goodwill. They don't know that they're wrong in most cases. But they're coming in Christ's name saying, God told me this, God told me that, God told me this. And you all have to do this because God told me this and I'm his representative. Well, God also had come to ancient prophets, even who came in his name, and allowed them to be deceived. Ezekiel 14 verse 9. And one of the greatest deceptions that's going to come is in the future when Satan the devil is expelled from heaven, when he comes back with his angels. You know what's going to happen on this earth? Satan the devil is going to take over this earth, and he's going to give to that Antichrist, that beast, that man of sin, that son of perdition, he's going to give him control over all the nations of this world. Just like Christ Jesus back there at the temptation refused to accept the kingdoms of this world because he would not bow down and worship. The man in the future that's going to come, not too many years in advance of us, is going to take up Satan the devil on that, and he is going to be given the kingdoms of this world and all the power that Satan has at the present time that Christ Jesus and God the Father allows him to have are going to be given to this man of sin. In fact, it says it in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, and it says in verse 8, and then shall that wicked one be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his power and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan with all power and signs and lying wonders. Notice this, signs, power, lying wonders, all the power of Satan the devil this man is going to have just prior to the second coming of Christ. And with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth that they might be saved. And for this cause, God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe a lie, or the lie. And you know what the lie is? The lie will be that most people will think that man called the beast or the Antichrist is none other than Jesus Christ come from heaven. And when he takes over rulership of this world, they're going to think that that is the great millennium prophesied in the Bible. Whereas in actual fact, it's nothing more than Satan the devil coming into that man with all power, signs, and lying wonders, great deceivableness. And you know who allows it? Look here. It says it quite clearly. Most people don't like this, but I'm afraid this is what it says. For this cause God shall send them strong delusion that they should believe the lie. Oh yes, God can deceive, and he will deceive people if they turn their backs on the central truths of God. And you know the reason he does that? You know the reason he allows sometimes deception to come along to be able to, even to some of his people that he loves and all of that? That is to give them teaching on what the truth really is. Over in Deuteronomy 13, it says in verse 1, if there arise among you a prophet or a dreamer of dreams that gives thee a sign or a wonder, that means miracles, and the sign or the wonder come to pass whereof he spake unto thee, saying, let us go after other gods, which means there are other ways and things like that of teaching, which thou hast not known, and let us serve them, you shall not hearken unto the words of that prophet or that dreamer of dreams. Now look at this. For the Lord your God, Yahweh your Elohim, proveth you to know whether you love the Lord your God with all your heart and with all your soul. He's proving you. He's testing you. Yes, he will allow deception to come on this earth. He will even allow you to be deceived if you go away from the teachings of this word. That's why we've got to test the spirits to know whether they are of God, because many false prophets have gone out into this world. 1 John chapter 4 and verse 1. We are here to be tested, but if you will pay close attention to this Bible, if you will stay close to its basic teachings, the basic teachings which come from God the Father in Christ Jesus, you will not be deceived in the wrong way. You will be given power and authority to overcome these things and to stand before God in Christ Jesus. He's calling you out. He's called me out. He's called anybody who will trust in him that he calls to this to understand the truth, to have the safety that we can from these deceptive spirits that are around that look good on the surface. Oh, they look good. They appear as an angel of light, you know. That's how Satan does. But what we have to do is to test them by the Word of God. The Word of God, the Holy Scripture, and the teaching of that Bible is the key to everything. Whatever you it is the written Word of God that we must pay close attention to if we want to be spared from the deception that is in this world at the present time and will last until Satan the devil is expelled from heaven and after that when Christ Jesus comes back. We need to pay close attention to that biblical revelation. Therein is where God Almighty, through Christ Jesus, has given his truth. You can know it. It's simple to understand. But what you have to do is to apply its principles and never deviate from them. There is where most people in the world are going wrong. They go outside the scripture, and they're listening to Satan the devil and others to be able to give them teaching which seems to be scriptural, but it isn't. Pay close attention to the scripture. If we do, we can be spared the teaching of deceptive spirits. This concludes side two.